Today's reading is from John chapter 10, verses 11 to 21, from Church Bible 1076. Verses 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. Verses 14, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheepfold. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. Verses 19. The Jews who heard this word were again divided. Many of them said, he is demon-possessed and raving mad. Why listen to him? But others said, these are not the saying of a man possessed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? This is the word of God. Yes, with
you. As we reflect on what we've heard so far, and as we look at John 10 on this subject of safeguarding, I wouldn't be surprised that for many people in this room, if not all people in this room, in very little ways and maybe bigger ways, you've experienced times where you felt failed by people. Maybe that is in just small ways. Maybe you can feel it a lot bigger. Maybe in the workplace. I was reading an article this week that talked about the increasing numbers of employees who lack trust in their bosses. We can see that wider afield as well as we look on a national or international stage. You may have seen this week it's been the COP29 conference as world leaders gather together to think about how we are going to combat the challenges and changes in the climate. And so often coming out of it, and a report came out saying it wasn't fit for purpose, there's a frustration that decisions aren't being made, that our leaders aren't fit for purpose. And as we've already heard, sadly, we see it in our church as well this week in light of the review of the horrific abuse. And so the failure of the church, it's resulted in the resignation of the Archbishop of Canterbury, Justin Welby. A failure of leadership, a failure of people. And so it can be said as we look both within the wider church and outside in the workplace and nationally and internationally, there appears a crisis of confidence in our leaders. Who can we trust? Is there anyone who cares? Who can we turn to? Is there any hope? And it's in this context that we then have the amazing good news of John chapter 10. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. And it's worth saying as we start out and as we look at this passage together, this isn't so much of a kind of random statement of Jesus. If you know John's Gospels, there are a number of I am statements that Jesus Christ makes throughout the Gospel. But I don't think this is a kind of random one as he kind of looks around and thinks, oh, I'll use a picture of a shepherd. People know what a shepherd does. It's a nice fluffy image and people will like that. I think there's a much deeper purpose and background going on here. His audience, the Jewish people, will know this topic of a shepherd well. Back in the Old Testament, the prophet Ezekiel in chapter 34, he shares a message from God where God speaks against the leaders of his people. God calls them shepherds and says they've failed. They've failed in leading God's flock. God accuses them of caring for themselves instead of the flock. And so in Ezekiel 34, God says, my people need a new shepherd. And God says, I promise a new shepherd will come. A shepherd who will love them, a shepherd who will care for them, a shepherd who will lead them. There is one coming who the people are waiting for. And so now in John chapter 10, Jesus says the outrageous. That shepherd that God promises, Jesus says, that's me. I am the good shepherd. And I will be different from any and all the shepherds that have come before. Here is the shepherd king that our world so desperately needs right now. Here is the ruler that we all desperately need. Here is the leader that we can trust. What is it about this shepherd? Three things we'll see as we work through these verses. We'll see a shepherd who gives, a shepherd who knows, and a shepherd who includes. First then, a shepherd who gives. Giving's important. We're often told it's better to give. And it's, I'm sure, as a parent, a message you'll be telling your children as we approach Christmas and maybe need to remind ourselves. Here is a shepherd who gives. And yet, this isn't any old giving. Notice what the shepherd gives in verse 11. This shepherd gives his life. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. You can't give more than your own life. And did you notice how many times Jesus repeats himself? In this passage, verse 11, as we've just seen, end of verse 15, I lay down my life for the sheep. Verse 17, I lay down my life. Twice in verse 18, I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down. Jesus wants to emphasize, Jesus doesn't want us to miss that he is the shepherd who gives. Sadly, as we've mentioned, we'll all be able to think of leaders who appear only out for themselves, who take rather than give, who look to benefit personally and greatly from their power. Jesus is at pains, repeats himself to show that he is the shepherd who gives, the one that will give his life for his sheep. He then, verse 12, compares himself, contrasts himself with the hired hand. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. When he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep. He runs away. And so the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is the hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. The hired hand doesn't care for the sheep. The hired hand doesn't love the sheep. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, I care for my sheep, I love my sheep. Jesus is absolutely committed to protecting and ensuring the welfare of his sheep, even if it ends up killing him. And Jesus is clear, it will kill him. Jesus will lay down his life. And do you notice how this is described in verses 17 and 18. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. Do you notice how it's described? Do you notice the way it's described? Jesus chooses to lay down his life. And here is, I think, an important distinction to notice here, but one that we might miss. Jesus doesn't say, I love my sheep so much that I'm prepared to die for them. Here is a declaration. It will happen. Jesus doesn't risk his life. He gives his life. So at this point, I could tell a lovely, heartwarming story of people who have risked their lives in order to save others, for the sake of others. Stories that really warm our hearts. And yet, in nearly all of them, it's that people risk their lives and still in the hope of surviving. This is a bit different. Jesus chooses to lay down his life. You see, at the climax of Jesus' life, it's not so much a tragic accident, but Jesus chooses to give up his life. Why would he do that? You see, as we've, if you've traveled with us through Mark's gospel, you'll see how Jesus captivates audience. Whether it's with his words, with his teaching, people hanging on to his every word, amazed by his teaching. Or whether it's by the amazing power that he shows, power to heal. So much so that people flock to hear him. He had remarkable teaching. He had remarkable power. Even his enemies didn't deny that. And then we get to a point, and we saw it a couple of weeks ago in Mark. We get to a point in every gospel where it's highlighted that Jesus shifts his attention and focuses on Jerusalem and says, I must head to Jerusalem. And in each gospel, the disciples know it's not a good idea. Jesus is effectively walking into the mouth of the lion. But Jesus is in charge. And Jesus knows he needs to head to Jerusalem because he chooses to lay down his life. Not so much putting his life in danger, but heading to a certain death. In 1942, there's a story of Scottish soldiers who were held by the Japanese in a prisoner of war camp. And after a day of forced labor, the equipment counters, everything came in, showed that there was one missing shovel. And so the officer lined all the prisoners of war up in front and demanded to know who had stolen the shovel. No one owned up. And so the officer threatened to kill each and every one of them until one man stepped forward and the officer killed him on the spot. And then later, after a recount, they realized that there was no shovel missing. It was just a miscount. And so they all realized that this man had given his life, not merely risked his life, but given his life. For the other prisoners. Jesus is the good shepherd who lays down his life for his sheep because he loves and he cares for his sheep. And because his sheep need it. You see, the storyline of the whole Bible is one that shows that every single human being has turned away from God and is only interested or is interested in their own interests. And as we turn away from God to our own interests, so that reflects on how we treat other people. We don't love our neighbor as we should. We make it all about us. And so as we make it all about us, so we see some of the stories that we see in the news. And so the Bible says we are all in need of rescue. We are sheep in danger. We need a shepherd who can rescue. And Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. Because that rescue involves sacrifice. And Jesus is prepared to be that sacrifice. In a way that puts others before self, in a way that gives, in a way that gives his life for the sake of his sheep. Jesus is the shepherd who gives. And then second, Jesus is the shepherd who knows. We've probably all found ourselves in situations at different points where we're talking to someone who we realize doesn't really know us. And not like a complete stranger, but someone we might have a link to. So it may be that you work in a large company and you meet a director or a CEO or a team leader. And even though you're in the same company, it's obvious that they don't know you. Maybe, sadly, you've experienced it here at St. Mary's in a larger church where it can be hard to know everyone. And even when we do know someone, there's a kind of knowing someone and a knowing someone, if you know what I mean. Probably not. There's a kind of general knowing someone that you might know about someone or you know of someone or you know things about them. I'm able to tell you about someone. But I don't really know them. And we all have a longing to be known, for someone to really know us. Like a mother-child relationship where the mother knows what makes the child tick, knows their longings, knows their loves, knows what they don't like. Verse 14, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. How deep is this knowing? What kind of knowing is it? Just a know of? Well, do you see the comparison or the parallel that Jesus gives about this knowing in verse 15? Do you notice it? Verse 14, I know my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. You see, there is no deeper, no more intimate relationship than that found in the Godhead between the Father and the Son of God. A relationship that has existed before the beginning of time. And Jesus says, this is the parallel to how I, the good shepherd, know my sheep. Wow. Jesus, the good shepherd, made everyone and everything. And Jesus, we're told at the beginning of this chapter, verse 3, knows his sheep by name. As you'll know, last Sunday was Remembrance Sunday, and one of the great sadnesses of battles, of wars, and of the two world wars were the many soldiers who died and were buried without being identified. And in the First World War, Rudyard Kipling, the British poet, proposed, and it was done, that on every grave of every soldier who was buried without being identified were written these words, a soldier of the great war known unto God. God knows. For every person here who calls themselves a Christian, Jesus made you. Jesus loves you. Jesus knows you. And as we've just seen, Jesus died for you. What a wonderful thought. What a comforting reality. But what difference can that make to our kind of everyday living, to know that you are made by God, loved by God, known by God? Well, it gives a wonderful dignity, a wonderful value. It provides a confidence, a security that I dare say nothing else can bring. Because God loves you and God knows you. You see, take away this very Christian thought that we are all made by God and all known by God and all loved by God. a thought that brings great dignity and value and confidence and security. Take that away, and what am I left with? Well, if I want any value, if I want dignity, if I want a kind of confidence, I've got to build it myself. I've got to create it myself. And that's normally done by what I do, what I achieve, what I become. And so I can go through life looking to build my value and my security. And once I get there, if I get there, once I achieve what I want that brings me the value that I'm looking for, well, then I'm challenged with keeping it. And that can be exhausting. But what about when it goes? As many of you will know, before working for a church, I worked for a charity, Christians in Sport. And the organization, increasingly in its work with elite performance performers, professional performers, is doing an increasing amount of work with those who retire. Because they've found that when a sports person retires, something happens. In fact, I was reading a report yesterday that said 40% of professional footballers go bankrupt within 5 years. And 35% of professional footballers face mental health struggles. And the article said that increases to over half when you generalize across all sports. The main reason given? Because they've lost their identity. In fact, the description that's given of individuals is they go through a period, they use the word of mourning, of grieving. They've spent their whole sporting career building their identity, their value, their security, and then it's gone. And I wonder if for many in this room, maybe not through sports, but when you hit retirement, can be a real challenge of who am I? My identity for 30, 40 years has been this. I used to have authority and standing. People knew who I was. And if my identity is based in that, well, then my security, my confidence can go. And it's not just in our kind of careers or our workplace. It can play out in maybe every interaction we have with other people. I want people to like me. And so as I meet people, I think, what do they think of me? And if they like me, well, that brings me value. That brings me dignity and security. If they don't, well, it can all come tumbling down. But do you see what Jesus, the Good Shepherd, says here? I am the Good Shepherd, and I know my sheep. I know you because I made you, and I love you. Not because of anything that you do, and you cannot change that. And so if I know that and allow it to enter my head and better my heart, well, you cannot shape my confidence or security, because my value, my identity, comes from knowing that I'm made and loved and known by my Good Shepherd. What a wonderful freedom that can come from that. And so as we think about safeguarding, and as I think that every single human being across the whole world is made by God, made in the image of God, with a great dignity and inherent value, well, it means there is no better or worse person. There's no person I can choose to ignore or turn a blind eye to. No, every person deserves to be cared for and loved. I am the shepherd who knows, Jesus says. And then finally, I am the shepherd who includes. Whilst we can live in what seems an increasingly divided world, we have a good shepherd who wants to include and unite. Verse 16, I have other sheep that are not of this sheepfold. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. Jesus here in the original context will have been speaking about the Gentiles, those who are not Jewish. He's reinforcing that as the good shepherd, he's come not only for the Jewish people, but for all people. And we hear this loud and clear in his last words at the end of Matthew's gospel, when he calls his disciples to go and make disciples of all nations. And so the church spread, obeying that call, spread across the surrounding nations, taking the gospel, and eventually they came over the English Channel into the UK and eventually made their way to Basingstoke. And here we are. Jesus is the good shepherd who includes. Not the shepherd for some, but for all. For all nations. For all people. And so if you're here and you think, well, it can't be me, I'm not good enough. I'm just too bad. The types of things I've done, God would never be interested in me. Jesus is the good shepherd who includes. Or maybe you can almost think the opposite and think, you know what, I've got no need. I'm almost too good. I'm too academic. I'm too intellectual for all of that stuff. Jesus says, you're in need of rescue, and I am the good shepherd who includes. Or maybe you can think, I've just not got the right standing in society. People look down on me because of my job, or because of my lack of job, because of what's happened to me, or how I've been treated, or my background. Jesus is the good shepherd who includes. And so again, as we think about the importance of safeguarding, our safeguarding is to be motivated and shaped by our good shepherd, who loves, who knows, and who invites and includes all. And so as the good shepherd motivates and shapes our safeguarding, so we are called to show a love and a care and a welcome and a safety to all we come into contact with. We're sadly maybe seeing a crisis of confidence in our leaders around the world. We need a leader who we can turn to, a leader who we can trust, a leader who we can hope in, a leader who will love and care. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd who gives it all, lays down his life. Never take that for granted. I am the good shepherd who knows each of my sheep by name, provides a wonderfully secure identity. And I am the good shepherd who includes all peoples from all nations. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for Jesus. Thank you that he is the good shepherd. Father, as we look around the world and as we can sometimes despair at people and at leaders around us, please turn our eyes to the Good Shepherd, who gives, who knows, and who includes. In Jesus' name, amen.